Let us read the 40th verse just for the heck of reading. Then I'll prepare you first, then only I'll go to the verse, okay? Manaso nigrahayattam.
Manaso nigrahayattam.
Abhayam sarvayoginam.
Abhayam sarvayoginam.
Dukkhakshayah prabodhaschapi.
Dukkhakshayah prabodhaschapi.
Akshaya shantirevacha.
Akshaya shantirevacha.
People who are given to the study of the Vedanta Shastram are people who are mumukshavaha, who have burning desire for freedom, moksha, which means even the desire for moksha and thereby the commitment to the pursuit of moksha is possible only when people understand what moksha is. When they understand that moksha, the freedom, in fact, is the discovery of freedom which is already there. Now, freedom from the desire for freedom. Freedom from the desire for freedom is in fact the discovery of the freedom which is already there, and that is a choiceless end. When people understand that, then, and that discovery of freedom, which is a choiceless end, happens to be what now? In the form of the discovery of the very truth. The discovery of the truth is in fact a discovery of the very truth of I, the truth of one's own self. When people discover this fact of the discovery of the truth of one's own self, being the discovery of the truth of the whole and being the discovery of the very freedom which is already there, and they become committed to this pursuit of knowledge. So as a mumukshu, then a person also is what? Jignasuhu. When they're given to the pursuit of knowledge, what they should be doing, definitely they study the Shastram. Why? They know in the context, Shastram is the only pramanam, the valid authentic means of knowledge. So Veda Anta Shastra study, they do with the help of the competent teacher regularly, systematically, consistently, with all commitment, for a length of time. They do that. And we call it Shravanam. Isn't it? Shravanam. So this Shravanam people do, and Shravanam itself will give one what will bless one, should bless one with the knowledge. Mere listening to the Vedanta Shastram systematically, regularly, consistently, constantly, with the help of a competent teacher for a length of time, not hunting after teacher, mutt after mutt, no, like that, without undermining any other institutions also, without taking anything, you see the teaching and you be with the teacher and you study systematically. And the Shravanam itself in due course of time should bless one with knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of the truth. A knowledge of the truth is what? Knowledge of one's own self, real self. The knowledge should take place. Shravanam should bless one knowledge. And that knowledge, when that knowledge takes place, as a result of that knowledge, twofold things happen. What does the Atma Jnanam do? You need not do anything for moksha. All that you need to do is you need to discover your own self, which is already there, which you already know you are. But in discovering the self, there we are discovering what do we mean by freedom. What is actually moksha? So what does the self-knowledge do? It should bless everyone with the twofold benefits. First thing the self-knowledge gives is the benefit of the self-knowledge is clearly, doubtlessly seeing one's real self being pure awareness, which is free from the three bodies, five layers of personality, and the bondage caused by those bodies, the problems of those bodies, and the problems pertaining to the associations connected to those bodies. All those, one becomes free from. Seeing oneself, seeing the actual real meaning of the word I being awareness. Endowed with the body, endowed with this subtle body, gross body, living in this world as an individual, relatively I am an individual in this world, is incomprehensibly, inexplicably vast cosmos. As an individual, being in this body, in sense complex, I am a part of the whole, but absolutely I am the whole. I am relatively, I am part of the whole. Physically, subtly, intellectually, emotionally, I am part of the whole, but absolutely I am the whole. This is a fact. It is not a cock and bull story. It's a fact. I am the whole is a fact. This vision must become very clear. I am the whole means what is I for you then? That I am the whole, I the self, I am the whole means, what is I there? There for you, there is no I. It is typically saying, wave is water. Similarly, I am the whole means, I am awareness. I am consciousness. And what does consciousness have to do with the gross body, or subtle body, or the mind, are the emotions, are the problems of the body, mind, sense complex, all the connections, associations connected to the body, mind, sense complex, what does the consciousness have to do with? Consciousness is absolutely ever free. It doesn't become free. Okay, after knowledge, it does not become free, isn't it? Self is nitya mukta swarupaha, ever free. I, the self, am awareness, which is nitya mukta, ever free from the threefold bodies. Sthula sukshma karna shariraad vyatiriktaha avasthatraya sakshi. You see the meaning really. Don't seem mechanically memorizing and saying, isn't it? Satchidananda swarupaha. No, awareness. Free from these threefold bodies. So being endowed with the bodies, enjoying the bodies, living in this world as an individual, still one can have the cognitive shift of I and have it resolved in the awareness. One can see I am awareness free from the threefold bodies. Not to say I am not the body. It's not to say that. not for saying, I am awareness, free from threefold bodies, if this vision is very clear, that being endowed with that vision is what? Is the primary result of the benefit of self-knowledge. So, I am free from the bodies and the samsara, the bondage caused by those bodies, connected to those bodies, the limitations, the problems pertaining to those bodies. Being endowed with a clear vision of the self, the meaning of the I being pure awareness, which is free from these bodies, is what now? Videha muktihi. Videha means what now? Vigataha dehaha yasmat. Even while living, you are free from the bodies. Physically, you have the body. Cognitively, you are free. Relatively, you have the bodies. Absolutely, you are free from the bodies. Is the absolute vision of being free from the bodies. Understand? This, the one who is endowed with this vision is Videha Muktaha. Jeevan Videha Muktaha. Okay, while living, he is free from what? This is called Videha Mukti. Generally, we say, for an ordinary person who studies the Shastra, who understands, when this wise person is the one, when he is alive, he enjoys Jeevan Mukti. And after the death, he attains Videha Mukti. We hear people saying, Videha Mukti, he becomes not assuming the body, not being born again, thereby becoming free from mortality, is what? Through the knowledge of the self being immortal is attainment of immortality, the Saha Nilai Adaidal, which is called Videha Muktihi generally, isn't it? But here, for a wise person enjoys Videha Muktihi even when he is alive. Understand? Enjoying the Videha Mukti means what? Reveling in Videha Mukti, freedom from the sense of having the bodies, isn't it? Is it clear now? This is the first benefit. So what if we have this? So any wise person is a Videha Muktaha. He has a body, but still he is a Videha Muktaha. Know why? He is free from the three bodies. How he is free from three bodies? I am the body is not there. Notion is not there. I have bodies also is not there. I am endowed with the bodies, the notion also is not there. I understand. I the self am awareness, which is free from the bodies and the problems. This is what now every wise person is Videha Muktaha. Enjoys his Videha Mukti. Okay? But what happens? This vision of the self being awareness, which is free from the bodies and their problems and the limitations, entertains the mind, which is the absolutely mature mind. We always ask, we talk about the personality development. Wise person's personality is the absolutely developed personality. He cannot develop anymore. So, absolutely developed personality means what here? Absolutely mature mind. What is it, absolutely mature mind? Who can have such a mind? That is the transformation which takes place on the part of the mind as a result of being endowed with this vision of the self being free from all the three bodies. That condition of the mind of a wise person, which obtains after the wisdom, is it that mind? We say that is the absolutely mature mind, is the absolutely strong mind, evolved mind. Is it clear? Which means, that is the second, the transformation which happens on the part of the mind is the second benefit of the self-knowledge. Without any effort, naturally, the mind which entertains this knowledge, clear, doubt-free, assimilated vision of the self-being awareness, which is free from the three bodies and the problems associated with the bodies, that person, that mind, naturally their raga dveshas resolve. Jealousy resolves. Fear resolves. My first thing is what? The fear resolves. The sense of insecurity resolves. Where is the sense of insecurity? Where is the fear? Where is the anxiety? Fear resolves. First thing happens is what? Fear resolves. Because all the wrong notions about the self have gone. Along with the wrong notions have gone the sense of insecurity, the fear, jealousy, hatred, anger, raga dveshas, they all resolve. That mind is what now? Light mind, burden-free mind, strongest mind. Not only that, all these go, and naturally what is there is compassion, accommodation, there is love, there is warmth, there is kindness, all this, which means the asuri sampat, the demonic traits resolve, the divine traits remain. Not by effort. No, I need to be kind. Need to be kind. There is naturally kindness. Naturally compassion. This natural expression of fullness, which is love. So naturally comes. This transformation, that your mind is said to be the strongest mind. Mature mind. Most evolved mind. Is it? That mind. And entertaining such a most mature, evolved, mind, wherein the asuri sampat is resolved, daivi sampat is there, divine traits are there. Such a mind, such a mind is called jivan muktihi. Got it? You see subtle difference. What is jivan muktihi? What is the first benefit? What is the byproduct of this? First benefit is what? Second thing. Okay. That is, we say, jivan mukti. Because who becomes free from fear? Consciousness? Tell me. That is why the mind, isn't it? In fact, all those people who seek freedom, even though the second benefit of transformation, the cognitive, the vision gives one a perspective change. The cognitive change, is as a result of cognition of the self, the change that happens, transformation that happens on the part of the mind is a cognitive transformation, isn't it? Is actually Jivan Mukti, which is actually sought after by the people in general. I'm free from three bodies. People are not interested in first knowledge, actually speaking. People are actually interested in the second benefit of transformed, strengthened, strong, evolved, mature, light, free, burden-free mind, which is Jivan Muktihi. Is it clear? Now, therefore, people are given to the study. Okay. We are Mukshavaha, we are Jignyasavaha, and then we are aspirants, seekers. We are given the study of the Shastram. We have the teacher, we have Shastram, we also study with Shraddha. Therefore, the knowledge also takes place, but still the knowledge should result in twofold benefits, isn't it? The twofold benefits. Knowledge takes place. Listen to the class, I understand everything, but I don't seem to enjoy the benefits of self-knowledge. Why? There is no difference, there is no variation, there is no gradation in terms of knowledge which take place, isn't it? But in enjoying the benefits of knowledge, which means the results of knowledge, Videha Mukti or Jivan Mukti. Now, you hope you remember very well what is Videha Mukti, what is Jivan Mukti, isn't it? It seems it's not there, not happening. Not for all. There is difference. Even though same teacher, same teaching, same effort, but still there seems to be difference in the enjoyment of benefits of the knowledge. Why? Because, and here the teacher wants to remind us, if there is problem in enjoying the benefits of the self-knowledge, in spite of the appropriate efforts of listening to the Shastram, in spite of having the knowledge also, means, he says, what has to be looked into is our preparation, mental preparation in terms of qualification for this knowledge, in terms of sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. The degree of sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi, the fourfold qualifications, vary from person to person or varies among the students. Therefore, the enjoyment of benefit also what? Or knowledge also varies. Therefore, the teacher wants to, in this context, he's going to talk about, before he enters into the contemplation topic, and he wants to, you know, introduce this teaching clearly, the Nididhyasana. The reason is why it is. If a person, as a mukshu, as a jignasu, when a person is given to study of the Shastram, if he is endowed with all fourfold qualifications in a adequately, he is absolutely perfectly qualified student means Shravanam itself is enough. The Shravanam itself will bless one with the knowledge. Clear, doubt-free, assimilated vision. Then that knowledge will also what now result in the enjoyment of benefits of Videha Muktihi and Jivan Muktihi. You can enjoy both the benefits. I am the awareness free from the three bodies and all those prana. And then, what now? The transformation of the mind also. That person can become the person of the strength. No, unshakable strength. Whatever happens, nothing can shake that person. Because everything he can see as mithya. That, you know, the real strength. So that emotional strength. So intellectual vision. Vision is intellectual. Okay? And strength is what? Emotional. Cognitive, emotional. Both benefits are there for the person who is adequately qualified. Who has Jhalan Chatushte Sampatti, the fourfold qualifications. Okay? But, if there are some people, suppose the qualifications are not at all there. The person is not at all qualified. Then, the very knowledge will not take place. Therefore, the twofold benefits are also not possible. The person is endowed with fourfold qualifications to a certain degree. Some, not adequately, but has some qualification means. Knowledge can take place. Okay. So, for an unqualified person, knowledge does not take place. Benefits of knowledge also are not possible. For inadequately qualified person, knowledge takes place, but benefits are not there. For the fully qualified person, knowledge takes place. Benefits are also there. So these three types of students are there. And Gaudapada Acharya, hope you remember now, in the 16th karika of the same chapter, he said the three types of adhikarinaha. Heena adhikari, madhyama adhikari, utkrushta adhikari. So we can otherwise say what now? Manda adhikari, adhama adhikari, heena adhikari means, okay, totally unqualified. But aspiration is there for knowledge and moksha. That is a good thing, isn't it? That is the good qualification. Then, inadequately qualified, madhyama adhikari, a mediocre. Adequately, properly qualified, uttama adhikari. Now we have to be true to ourselves here. So we have to see which category we belong to. Not to compare ourselves with others. Not to see again, smallness should not be triggered. Isn't already we have a problem of smallness. Again, he is more qualified. I'm not. It is not at all. It is generally to know the problem. So we have to make all possible efforts to get ourselves equipped for this wisdom and enjoy the benefit of this wisdom. Isn't it? Therefore, for Adhama Adhikari, what should he do? An unqualified person means what? He has now somehow apatata jnanam is there. Therefore, somehow he understood the fact what? Moksha is a choiceless end. Choiceless. If I miss it, I have to come back again and again. Therefore, choiceless end. Therefore, knowledge is what now? Knowledge is the sharanam, jnanam, sharanam, gacchami. Knowledge is the only, because the whole samsara is, no, it's all misconception, isn't it? So all they need is what now? Correction of error, for which I need only knowledge, nothing else. Moksha is, knowledge is moksha. So I had to be committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Therefore, I have what now? I have aspiration for knowledge. I'm an aspirant, a spiritual aspirant, a spiritual person, but still zero qualification. Then what should such a person do? I tell you, Veda teaches the beautiful way of life. Rajamargamu. What is it, Rajamargamu? The royal path laid where you can have a journey, comfortable journey, a spiritual journey. Isn't it? You can progress from ignorance to knowledge, bondage to moksha. What is that? Living a life of karma yoga. Following panchamaha yajnas. And living even religious life should be what? The worshipfulness, prayerfulness, and conformity to dharma, and in a proper attitude, and living life, the karma yoga is a must. He must focus on that alone. He need not waste his time going after, running after sannyasis or teachers. Really. Focus on living one's life of karma yoga. But this person should do sravanam or not? Shravanam must be done along with the shravanam. But focus need not be much on shravanam. Along with the shravanam, one should focus definitely on living a life of karma yoga. It's very, very important. Because shravanam is for him to be able to live a life of karma yoga. Now, being given to shravanam will help him all the time to remind himself of the importance of living a life of karma yoga. Therefore, shravanam, even the Vedanta shravanam will not function as a jnana yoga for him, will serve as a karma yoga. Okay, Vedanta shravanam is also not for knowledge initially. For him to be able to live a life of karma yoga, therefore for preparing his mind for knowledge. Living a life of karma yoga is for him to become qualified with what now, with this fourfold requirements. Is it clear? Therefore, karma yoga is a must. Otherwise, even if a person has aspiration for knowledge, because he understands, oh, jnanam is the only means of moksha. At the same time, every time he goes and sits in the class, Vedanta teaching is not at all appealing. Doesn't appeal. It sounds very impractical. He's not ready here. What is this? And then so slowly people drop also. Vedanta, people drop means, you know, always tells you, we really, a teacher who has real vision will not worry about this. If the student comes, happy to teach. Does not come also, no complaints about any student. No way. We understand. there's no regret. There's no, understand? Let the child come back one day. Because it doesn't appeal. Not ready. And all that is taught here sound very impractical. What is this? All is this only Brahman? Only Ishvara? I have a new job. I have no got to earn more and think of the problems at home. What sort of situations I'm facing? Daughter's life, son's life, mortgage problems. You know, all of so many other things and social environment, other commitments, you know, neighbors, you know, hedge of fence or what sort of problems all sorts of problems, you know, tax, oh my God, lots of, you know, again, the blood report every time comes, pressure goes up, doesn't come down, isn't it? So, and then even the free medical service available, National Health Service still very, always tension about what will be the result. Understand? When all these things, Aham Brahmasmi, Advaitam Brahma, all this here is Brahma. So Vedantic, in what way does this teaching help me to resolve my day-to-day problems? Financial, social, economic, all sorts of problems we have in life. What does it contribute? I have to still work hard to sort out my problems. You know, there is no connection between Vedantic wisdom and day-to-day problems. It is of no use. Even though I understand somehow moksha is a choiceless end, imagine people who do not have Purusharth Nischaya. Having Purusharth Nischaya, having the value of knowledge, even in spite of making effort to attain the knowledge, in spite of making efforts to attend the class, somehow we drag ours. At least Rupal's cake will be there definitely. We should not miss it. Some entertainment is there. In spite of we go there, but still what happens is, now, it is not practical. There are many people, Vedanta class is more for fun and socializing, not for practice. It is not at all practical. If this thinking is there, they can understand Adama, Uttama, Madhyama. Where should you put him under them? Under which category? You know that. I don't want to say that. No. I know I'm not qualified, but you know, but still, what should I do now? That is the good question, isn't it? Live now. Listen to the Shastram, but let the focus be on, all your efforts must be on living a life of Karma Yoga. Seek Bhagavan's grace to become qualified. Avan Arulal Avan Thal Patri. Isn't it? You have to get it. That's how, in fact, the living a life Karma Yoga implies filling your life with the Bhagavan's grace, isn't it? By commitment to live a life Dharma with all your worship, through worshipfulness, prayerfulness and proper attitude. Karma Yoga. Okay. Then, we'll come to other person. We are not talking about now mananam or nididhyasanam. What about the madhyam adhikari? He is not totally, so the adham adhikari cannot have both. So now what he should do, you know, karma yoga. What about the madhyam adhikari who is neither unqualified nor properly totally qualified, but who is inadequately qualified? At least for this person, Vedanta is very appealing. It's an appeal or anything. Vedanta is very appealing, and he thinks, no, Vedanta wisdom, knowledge is liberating. He knows. Then this person makes efforts, he studies Shastram, for him knowledge takes place. But knowledge, benefits of knowledge, the transformation in the form of, you know, the mental transformation, which should reflect in his day-to-day life, that doesn't take place. That is why people at home, our friends also will say, what is the use of studying Vedanta Shastram? I see this person attending Vedanta class for 40, 30 years and his behavior is the same. There is no change whatsoever. That does not mean the person has not gained knowledge. they behave, doesn't reflect in the Veda. The mind must have changed, isn't it? Then it will reflect in his behavior. Which means the mind has not changed because the mental transformation has not, emotional transformation hasn't taken place. Isn't it? Which means the understanding is there, everything is very clear. This person can go and take other class for other people also. The very clarity is there, understanding is there, but assimilation is not there. Isn't it? Ascertainment is not there. Assimilation, ascertainment means what? That must be ever remembered, unforgettable, clear vision which has really penetrated and percolated and become part and parcel of you. You know, you don't lose sight of that vision. Then the transformation is possible. And that is what is real Jivan Mukti. So Videha Mukti is there, means then Jivan Mukti will be there. I am not the body, I am very clear. But still what? I have all the problems. Means what? For such a person alone, Nididhyasana is introduced. Is it clear? So we don't need to worry about Uttamadhikari. Uttamadhikari, Parveda Uttamadhikari, Madhyamadhikari, Mandadhikari, Shravanam, Mananam. Shravanam is inevitable. Without Shravanam, knowledge is impossible. After Shravanam, knowledge is not effective, then Nididhyasanam is recommended. Mananam and Mananam, Nididhyasanam is recommended. What if I do? I am qualified for knowledge, but without Shravanam, can I go straight away to Nididhyasanam? Nididhyasanam is meditation. Which means Nididhyasanam will not give you knowledge. Nididhyasanam is not for knowledge. Nididhyasanam is not for moksha. Shravanam alone will give you knowledge. Nididhyasanam is only for ascertainment, assimilation. Not for assimilation means you must have eaten food, then you can assimilate, isn't it? Starving for many days, let me assimilate means what does it mean? Your tummy is making lots of noise. Why? You've been starving, no food, and you say I need to assimilate. Hey, first of all, you must have eaten, then wait for the assimilation, isn't it? For appeasing your hunger, you must eat or assimilate. Eat, isn't it? Therefore, that's similarly, for jnanam, you need only shravanam, 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 shravanameva kuriyat. Listening is a must. Don't worry about Nididhyasanam. Listening is for knowledge. If the knowledge is not effective, then understand it is not assimilated, then Nididhyasanam. Uttama Adhikari, if you are Uttama Adhikari, you don't need to worry about anything. Be given to Shravanam. Shravanam will bless you with what it needs to bless you with. Shravanam will bless you with both knowledge and the benefits of knowledge. For Uttamadhikari. Don't worry. Otherwise, Nididhyasanam. Is it clear now? Therefore, Nididhyasanam is for Madhyama Adhikari, which means we can understand we hardly find Uttama Adhikaris. There are some Uttama Adhikaris. Okay, mostly very difficult. But you don't need to work hard to find Adhama Adhikaris. And the whole world, most of them are people, even they don't even know what are they living this life for. Work, earn, enjoy pleasures. That's for them, artha kamas are the ends. People are also there. Anyway, I'm not saying they're all bad people or wrong people. Okay, they may be ethical, they may be religious, they may not, but still they're not spiritual. Anyway, so here, this is the what we need to understand here. So with this understanding alone, we have to start here. Is it clear now? I think I made it very clear. Have I?
Yes.
Now you know very clearly what is Jivan Muktihi. What is Videha Muktihi, isn't it? Manaso Nigraha Yattam.
Manaso Nigraha Yattam.
Abhayam
Sarvayoginam. Abhayam Sarvayoginam.
Dukkha Kshaya Prabodaschapi.
Dukkha Kshaya Prabodaschapi.
Akshaya Shanti Revacha.
Akshaya Shanti Revacha.
See, in the second line, see that word Prabodha. Prabodha means what? Prakarshena Bodha. The clear, assimilated, doubt-free vision of the self being the only pure consciousness, the only secondless non-dual reality. That is knowledge. Isn't it? Prabodha. It is the knowledge. It is the first benefit of this self-knowledge. That knowledge, isn't it? Then, the second benefit, isn't it? What happens, he says, the benefits of knowledge, the result of knowledge, the transformation which takes place on the part of the mind as a result of knowledge, that abhayam, see the first line, abhayam, abhayam means what? Fearlessness, innocent, security. Abhayam means the freedom from insecurity, freedom from sense of insecurity, fearlessness. Abhayam, there's no fear. Fear resolves. What effort do you need to make to chase the fear away? Fear resolves. There won't be fear. Afterwards, there won't be fear. There won't be insecurity. Then, dukkha kshayaha. Once the fear is gone, I tell you, the insecurity is the source of, or a sense of insecurity itself will result in always pain, you know. Then there will result dukkha kshayaha. No, elimination of sorrow for good. All forms of pain, there won't be hurt, guilt. Hurt results. Guilt results. There's no guilt. There's no hurt. There's no pain. Sorrow. Different degrees of pain. Sadness. Sorrow. You know, grief. All result. Dukkha kshayaha. Where does it happen? The part of the mind. The vrittis are not there. Then, Taruna, Shantihi, Akshaya Shantihi. Shantihi is adjective is what? Akshaya Shantihi means what? Akshaya Shanti means everlasting, absolute serenity, tranquility, peace. Nothing can disturb your the serenity. So calm, non-disturbable peace is what? Is that Akshaya Shantihi? You are peaceful, quiet, calm, serene. A small situation can really shake you, isn't it? Whatever happens, what? Nothing shakes. Situation can be worst situation, but still you can be internally, you can inner leisure must can be maintained, isn't it? Sakshaya Shantihi. This is possible only if there is a that sense of freedom. The self being free from these material bodies. The I sense must have been resolved into the awareness cognitively. That is there. Then naturally, effortlessly, there is fearlessness, there is absolute serenity, tranquility in the part of the mind in terms of peace. And there is no such a thing called hurt or guilt or any degree of pain. Sorrow. Dukkha kshayaha. So, prabodha is knowledge, which implies the first benefit. And the other three words imply second benefit. Okay? Is it clear now? Second, what are the three words? Abhayam, dukkha kshayaha, akshaya shantihi. These three are mentioned here, which also implies what? Then, if there is no fear, there is no sense of insecurity, there is no guilt, no hurt, means, no, ragadveshas are also not there. There is no hatred, then there is no jealousy, there is no smallness, there is no jealousy, there is no anger. Then what is there then? All opposites, all Daivi Sampat fills the mind. Compassion, kindness, love, understanding, accommodation, agitationlessness actually. All those, that is what a serenity we say. That is the mind. This is second. Very subtle difference, isn't it? This mind you can't earn. Understand? You can't earn this mind. Knowledge is the only thing. It is the clear vision of self being free from the material world, material bodies. Then the mind can enjoy that. There is Jivan Mukti. Is it clear? It's possible. So he says, for whom? These two. Now two we have learnt now. Prabodha, number one. Number two, Abhayam Dukakshayaha Akshaya Shantihi, second benefit. Is it clear now? These two benefits are possible. For whom? Sarva Yoginam. For all those who pursue knowledge. For all those who seek knowledge, the truth, the seekers of the truth, for them, it is possible. All these three, are dependent on something, based on something. What is that? First he says, manasaha nigraha. Now, ayatta means dependent, based on. So the first, these two benefits of knowledge, the knowledge and the benefits are dependent on manasaha nigraha. Abhayam, prabodha, அபயம் துக்கக்ஷயஹ அக்ஷயா சாந்திஹி ஆர் ஆயத்தம் டிபெண்டன்ட் ஆன் மனசஹ நிக்ரஹ ஃபார் ஆல் தி சீக்கர்ஸ். மனசஹ நிக்ரஹ மீன்ஸ் வாட்? மென்டல் டிசிப்ளின். சோ மனோ நிக்ரஹ ஒன் வேர்ட் இம்ப்ளைஸ் stands for all the fourfold qualifications. Purinjicha? Manasaha nigraha means just mental, don't say mind control, okay? Mental discipline. That mental discipline implies what? All the fourfold qualifications. See, adequately prepared, qualified mind is mentioned by the word manasaha nigraha. Now, adequately pure, serene, steady mind is what? Properly disciplined mind. So, manasaha nigraha means what? Now, the proper discipline of the mind. Okay. So, all these two benefits of knowledge are dependent on the properly disciplined mind or disciplining of the mind. And that proper disciplining of the mind means what? Properly qualified mind. The qualified mind means what? Adequately pure and steady mind. And which implies being endowed with all the fourfold qualifications. Gaudapada Acharya Ji mentions only one word, manasaha nigraha. You should take it, you should underline, you should say what? Now, manasaha nigraha of this karika is equivalent to sadhana chatushtaya sampattihi. There again, nitya anitya vastu vivekaha you, okay? Vairagyam is okay. And then, mukshuttam, of course, that you have. But third one, shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha, shraddha, samadhanam. Now, shamadhi shatka sampattihi. That how can you, that you have to, Swami says, fake it and make it, you know, which means no way, live a life of karma yoga. How to have manasaha nigraha? Don't worry about nididhyasanam. Don't worry about mananam. You listen, be given to shravanam, but focus not on shravanam. What now? What? Only on living a life of karma yoga. You have to prepare yourself. So he strictly says, Acharya Ji, come on, what is this? Dukkakshaya, very easy to have the mind. Freedom from sorrow. Fear will, the sorrow will resolve for good. Akshaya shantihi, non-disturbable serenity, tranquility will be very easy to accomplish. Then, what about that? You know, abhayam, fearlessness. My God, the sense of insecurity will resolve for good. But what you need to have? Prabodhaha first. What is Prabodhaha? Clear vision of the self being, pure awareness which is free from the material world and the material bodies and the problems, you know, limitations pertaining to the material forms. Understand, this is dependent on what? Manasaha nigraha. Don't complain. Don't think teaching is not effective. Understand? How can the teaching not be effective? Manasaha nigraha. Then every day in your prayer also pray to Bhagavan to be able to live a life of karma yoga. This is what? Understanding one's limitation and weakness. And to sort out that particular thing, you have to make special efforts. Hemoglobin is less, and somebody gives, doctors give you suggestion. Eat this, eat that, iron deficiency, and eat that, eat this. Similarly, what is lacking in me, they had to focus on that particular problem, and I have to sort it out, and I need to make do the needful. I also need to pray to Bhagavan to bless, to, you know, pray, seek Bhagavan's grace also. Pray, work hard, seek Bhagavan's grace through prayer. So somehow we'll become qualified. This is for the Adhama Adhikari. Only one word he tells. Manasaha Nigraha. I'm not elaborating on Karma Yoga and other things. Because Mandukya Upanishad students means advanced. So you're supposed to know lots of things. Then, now the next verse he comes brings is very interesting verse. I won't want to talk, don't worry. I won't. Actually, my actual idea was to do a long session today. Because I had not told him before, I didn't do it. But next interesting he gives, you know, how long will it take for me to prepare my mind for knowledge? No? It may be difficult, but still, it involves how much effort? He says, no, imagine if a bird goes, no, the story also comes. Suppose, imagine if the bird has laid eggs under the eggs, and that place is filled with water. So flooded, the place gets flooded in the water. The bird wants to, there's an ocean, okay? And the bird wants to empty that ocean. And the poor little bird, with a small little beak, and taking the cup made of leaf, and coming, and then, you know, it really, if, you know, takes the water and pours out, okay? Why? The bird is trying to empty the ocean. How? By using, it spills, takes the water and pours it out with what? With a small leaf. That, with its beak. How long will it take? I'm not saying it doesn't take very long. But the effort involved, what an amount of effort is involved on the part of the bird, if it happens to, no? So much effort is involved. Effort, which means there must be consistency, there must be perseverance, you know, living life karma yoga means what? Perseverance must be there. The knowledge also requires what? Whatever difficulty is there, there must be hard, the perseverance must be there. When the perseverance is there, then it is possible to earn the grace of Bhagavan also. It seems in Puranas there's a story that bird tried, and then the bird was seeing the bird's effort, genuine, sincere effort, and also it's, not just the effort, not perseverance. Then it seems the eagle is a Garuda. Vainateya sees, oh, this poor bird is suffering, let me help this bird. The Vainateya, you know, big, elegant, with just a bird of elegant flight, comes down, plucks it water. It dries the ocean just by flapping it. Understand? Which means it has the capacity. Then it seems it got the help. That if we make genuinely effort, then we also have Bhagavan's grace to prepare ourselves for knowledge. But this much he wants to introduce before he goes to the topic of Nididhyasanam. Okay? So we will continue that this Nididhyasanam, we'll see next class. Okay? Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate
Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.